Hey there, and welcome to the If She Did It podcast. I'm your host, Becky Fagan, a social media and business growth coach helping aspiring and new entrepreneurs kickstart their business and master Instagram marketing. In these episodes, we'll be talking all things entrepreneurship and social media marketing as a whole. You'll leave every episode energized and ready to bring yourself and your business to the next level. Welcome back to the If She Did It podcast. We're doing 2-in-1 week this week because I am just so excited to share this interview with you. I interviewed one of my very first business coaches, Isabella Silverio. She is a freaking powerhouse. She has so much amazing value always. And the conversation we had, I think, was a lot of fun and I really enjoyed it. And we talked about some really awesome things. It's hard to pinpoint just one because there was a lot of conversation and it was all really great. And I am just so freaking excited for y'all to hear it. So we're going to dive right in. I hope you're doing well and I really hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the podcast, Isabella. I'm excited to have you.
It's super awesome to be here. It's one of the podcasts I was super excited to come on in my podcast press tour, which is, it's been really cool to kind of do this with so many shows. So it's really, really great to be here.
Yeah, it's fun to have you. It's fun, especially as one of my first coaches, to have you on the show.
I know, so long ago.
I know.
It's almost forever ago.
It really was. It's crazy. So as we talked about before we started recording, I love having everybody who is a guest on the podcast to start by just sharing their story. You're welcome to start and finish wherever you want in your storyline, but would love to just start there with hearing about, you know, how you got started and everything like that.
Yeah, of course. So it's a little challenging to pick a point and end point in the story because I feel like it's just been my whole life leading up to this very moment. But it is, you can see the more forward I go in my journey, the more I can see why things had to happen the way they did and little pieces of evidence that resulted in just where I'm at today. So hi, everyone. I'm Isabella Silverio. I'm an online business coach. I specialize in helping women scale their businesses to six figures, multiple seven figures. And through my CEO embodiment method, it's when you're building a business at a bigger vision, bigger standpoint, bigger impact, then you're going to need systems to scale. You're going to need a team to help you run the machine, a strong vision to carry you through the ups and lows. And the lifestyle, like really embodying the CEO, means to be embodying a lifestyle that you work hard to achieve. And lots of my clients in my community are constantly living in a place of they want to be anywhere but where they are right now. They always want to be forward. They want to be, you know, where they were six, like where they're going to be 6 months from now, right? And I help them be in the now and be successful now and enjoy the process and the business now. I started my coaching business 2.5 years ago before I was in technology and online startups in the Gainesville, Florida area. That's where I went to school. And it's been quite a wild ride. I had a lot of experience in the startup community, working in teams and learning online marketing behavior and how millennials would purchase things and how to create an online brand. And it was when I decided to move from the startup space and go online myself and build my own essentially consulting agency where I discovered the industry of coaching and really this whole entire little hidden gem of the internet. And since then I've been building my business the way I know how, and it feels really good. And you are one of my clients in my group programs, which is still the most popular group program, Guava Boss Mastermind. And I'm just super, super happy to be here. It's been a crazy journey. I can't even believe that I am where I am today sometimes.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's so cool to look back on. Like, I'll have people message me and they're like, didn't you work with Isabella like a while ago? And I'm like, they ask me questions and I'm like, honestly, she's evolved so much that I don't even know how to explain to you, like I don't know the differences at this point. But my point, the point in saying that is like, it's cool to see how much a business can evolve, and even like only been a
Yeah,
year
it grew
and a
really
half.
fast. My business compared to others grew really fast because I applied so much of what I learned from the startup industry and as well from, I guess I did learn stuff. I went to business school, undergrad. I dropped out of my master's, didn't finish that, didn't need to. I already had a six-figure business, but I did learn so much about discipline and about the spirit of entrepreneurship, which we all became entrepreneurs to solve problems. None of us did this to get rich. And when I was starting my business, I remember getting my first client paying me $400 a month. And that was probably one of the best days of my life, even though I've, sold $25,000 deals or $50,000 deals. That was like the best of the best. And from this like really high monumentous growth came a lot of just growth as a person. I never, when I started really building my team, I never thought I would have to fire people and like kind of hurt feelings or have to not be so nice and let people close. Like I keep my inner circle really, really tight because when you have a big audience and you have, and you almost have this like what you just talked about, people come to you to ask questions about me, but no one will like talk to me. It's so weird. It's so just talk to me, just ask me. You're always constantly battling this, like, how much influence do you have? And I don't even have, in my opinion, I don't even have a big audience. I don't have a big following, compared to people, other influencers, business owners, YouTubers online. But that thing is there of that curiosity, I guess, which does help build a personal brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's actually really funny that you made that comment just now about like, you don't consider yourself that big compared to other influencers and stuff. And it's true. And like what you and just a lot of other entrepreneurs, especially business coaches in this like in this industry have is that like you have that community and that tribe, which honestly a lot of influencers with a lot more followers don't necessarily have.
Yeah, I
So
get that's been a recurring theme on the podcast press tour, like explaining this phenomenon of like that community factor, totally.
yeah, but it's all about like making it important. Like I follow a lot of influencers right now that, they're so frustrated with the Instagram algorithm and they're like, I'm not reaching my people, and they're so distraught about it. And I'm like, well, what are you doing to reach them though? Like other than putting your post out there, like do you actually like we know things that these influencers don't know almost.
Yeah, well, I think also influencers know things that we don't know.
Oh,
Like I
for
see
sure.
tons of coaches who are excellent, excellent transformers, give their clients excellent results, but their personal brand and their online presence is just not there. So I
Oh,
think
yeah.
there's this really great blend of being both, which is where I like to be, right in the middle. And the people I looked up to so much in high school, middle school, I was one of the first people who made a YouTube account, didn't post a single video, but I loved the beauty guru community and all these vloggers. And I was like Casey Neistat's like number one fan at one point. And I just loved how they would just have this amazing audience and connection. And I watched that really closely. And when it was, so my pipe dream was always to be like a beauty guru or like YouTuber. That was, I still have so many desires of doing that. That's in the 2021 vision list. So I just brought that into my business. And when I was launching my business, I was like, okay, this is so cool. Like I get to be a personal brand, but I thought I was really smart. I didn't really think I was that entertaining. I didn't really think I was fun to follow. And over the past year, the Guava Girl community, the not just the size of it, but just the passion and the values instilled in that community are so much stronger than any size audience I could possibly ask for, which makes me now think, okay, I should be going more into influencer work because my audience really does want to see what has like the Guava Girl stamp of approval, and we're going into affiliate marketing, and we're going to be releasing products soon, and I still love coaching. I'm never going to stop. I cannot imagine not coaching, business coaching. But I'm so creative and I just want, I always like find a bigger mountain to climb.
Yeah,
That's
no,
at
I love
the
that.
end.
But like, okay, so like, let's talk about that. So you're at a place now where you're like, I'm gonna start like releasing products and doing that kind of a thing. And I see a lot of people in earlier stages of their business that almost they see all these other coaches that have been around longer, doing all these different things, and they feel like they have to do the same. They feel like they have to like release all these services, release all these offers, release all these products right off the bat to keep up with the people that have been at it longer than them. So, like, what would you say in that perspective of like almost not, I guess, in a way, staying in your lane of like not being so concerned about doing what everyone else is doing?
Yeah, totally. I think there's this always going to be this bandwagon effect, and it's in every single industry you'll find this effect. However, it's part of the CEO embodiment is knowing when to tackle what, right? Like, what is the actual thing that's going to move us the farthest along, and what is a project that just if we couldn't give it our all, we're not going to start. So we started the merch thing back in October, which was like 5 months ago, 6 months ago, and we had to put it down, and like we weren't gonna act on it until other things were in place. Like we needed to update the website, we needed to grow the audience more, we needed to see if Isabella, me, if I could actually sell products, right? So I'm a huge affiliate for the Classy Network, which is a lifestyle brand for women entrepreneurs, people who spend a lot of time on their computer. They sell really great products, blue blocker glasses, Brahmis, and everything like that. And I've been one of their top affiliates for a few months. So I'm like, okay, we know we could sell products. Like there's just, you need to know if you can actually do and follow through with the thing. And I'm not talking about, well, I guess I am talking about shiny object syndrome, right? Like I want to start a podcast because everyone has a podcast. I want to come out with an ebook. I want to come out with a membership. And it's really great to have all these creative ideas. I know I'm probably the most creative person. I have like three ideas for new offers every effing day. But you need to know when to tackle what. And if you're gonna make a decision, okay, yes, this is a thing I want to tackle, make sure that you're making that decision out of complete certainty that regardless of the outcome, you're gonna give it your all, right? Like people will, launch a group program too early and then they won't get anyone in. And then they're because they were so attached to that outcome as well. I see that all the time. I see that with a lot of things. And it's also just part of the journey too. Like I've launched things that were a little too early, not the right time, not the right fit. And you're not always going to get it right. Not every single ball you're going to hit out of the park, and that's okay. But just don't make those decisions out of what other people are doing, what you're seeing online, because you can't project what your audience is seeing. Like you're seeing that. You're seeing everyone launch everything. Your audience is not.
Right.
You don't know who they're following or what they're looking at.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. I feel like you seriously just listening to you, I'm like, you sound like such a CEO right now, like everything you're saying. So with that and like your CEO embodiment and everything like that, like when did it click for you in your business? Like, I need to start acting like a CEO and I haven't been.
Yeah, that's a good question. So you came into my guava programs about a year, year and a half ago, and that was when I was like, so when I first transitioned from startup consulting into online business coaching, I identified that my niche within business coaching was like Instagram.
Sorry to interrupt, but I need to talk to you all about my brand new program, the Abundant Business Mastermind. This is a 6-month mastermind to help you scale your business to consistent 5-figure months and fully embody your 6-figure self. Over the course of 6 months, we will become an authority, master sales, fill out your current offer, build a product suite, grow your team, and work on your mindset all along the way to get you to the place of hitting consistent 5-figure months by the end of the 6 months together. If you want a sisterhood and an epic coach to not only guide you in scaling your business, but in building a sustainable business model to withstand even the toughest of pandemics, this program is for you. We start at the end of April, so go learn more and apply by heading to the link in my show notes. You aren't going to want to miss this, and it seriously is going to change your life. But enough talking. Let's get back to the episode, and I hope to see you on an interview call real soon.
Identified that my niche within business coaching was like Instagram, and I became this Instagram guru, right? Like everyone knows me for the hashtag matrix. Everyone knows the Instagram unicorn method. I just put out tons and tons of Instagram courses and content, and it was really successful. It was the perfect products to launch. I knew how to sell it. They got great results. They're still wonderful products. Mm-hmm. And then with that business, I needed to build systems and a team to help support that business. And it was through the journey of like building the team, establishing a team culture within the Slack group, within the Voxer, flying my team down for a retreat, like a team retreat where we planned out the entire year in January. It was in those actions where I was like, damn, this is like what I need to be teaching forever. Cause this was what I would do in startup land. This was, you know, being nitty gritty in the team. It was always, startups is always about vision, 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 and then coding. So you're either the vision person or you're the coding person. And I was always in those conversations about big marketing plans and where is this going to go and how would we exit out of this company and how much would we want to sell it for? And that's now what I feel like my little once, which was once a little Instagram consulting business, is now this huge guava empire. Mm-hmm. And with that empire, it had to take a lot of uncomfortable conversations, finding the right people, letting go of the wrong people, and deciding what to follow through with, and also learning a ton, like continuous investment. I've invested in many high-level coaches and consultants to help us with back-end, with PR, with how my leadership skills can be improved to motivate my team to build for me. Like there was so much that has gone on that I don't think people really see on the ground. But that's okay. Like I want my Instagram to be like really fun and yeah. People know, I think people know who listen to the podcast that I'm like a real serious bitch. Like they know how cutthroat and like serious I am because I don't always portray that way on stories.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So with that of like, you know, hiring the people in the back end to like help and that kind of a thing, or even, you know, when it came to when you were to like work with a new coach or like re-sign with a coach, what were there like questions that you asked yourself or things that you determined to help you decide like what kind of coach you needed, what kind of support you needed in that time? Because what I realized for a while with me was I was just kind of like, I need support. I don't know what support, but I just need it. I just like hire a random person. Or it can be the opposite where you say, I need support. I don't know what I need. So I'm just going to freeze and not get support. And so I've been working on over the past like maybe 6 months or so being more, I don't know, thinking more before making a decision and being smart about my decisions more so. So was there kind of like a process that you take yourself through when determining like what investments need to be made at a certain time in your business?
Yeah, totally. I think, I guess with my mentors, like I just, whoever I can like fuck with, like I need to be able to like have fun with you and like you need to get me because I'm hard to get. Mm-hmm. And I haven't like coach shopped. Like I've been with the same people for like 2 years, Sabrina, Philip, and Amanda Bucci. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself finding anyone else. Like, and it's not even of, okay. So then moving into team, I teach the framework when you're hiring and building out your team, you need to establish first the role and second the expectation. Mm-hmm. So number one role is, what are the actual action items that this person needs to be fulfilling? So when we hired our podcast producer, I first outlined, okay, what is everything my dream podcast producer would do? They would cut and edit my audio. They would upload it. They would create show notes. They would create Pinterest graphics, Instagram, Facebook graphics, schedule all of those up. They would create a podcast page with all those graphics, the show notes, a play button to listen to the show. They would put in ads and they would be very respond. So that's actually getting to the next thing. So it's listing all of the things, all of the tasks. And then the next piece is expectations. So how would I expect the podcast producer to work inside my business? I would expect them to be responsive. I would expect them to get the shows up on time. I would expect them to give me feedback and monthly reports on what the best shows were, what keywords are working, right? Like, it is not my job to tell you how to do your job if I've already told you to do your job, which is the biggest annoyance when you're running a team. Well, I don't want to call it an annoyance, but it's people need to be a leader to their team, not a beggar, meaning like, hey, can you get the show up? Or like, hey, can you get this thing done? Like, no, like, you know, you need to get the thing done and you know how you need to get the thing done. And you know that you have to respond to my like team messages in a timely manner. Like, there's things like that. So I mean, you can ask any of my team member, like they will say they love working with me, but like with a gun to their head, just kidding. No, I'm really clear of what I want, and my team appreciates that because they need to know how to make me happy. And I'm very, very clear. It's the same thing in relationships, like how we want our boyfriends to like know what we're thinking and know what we want, and then they're just like, I can't read your mind. And you're like, why not? So I reference that. And then going circling back to mentors, I think it's like the only doing your research for sure. I think you need to interview the clients of that mentor that you're potentially thinking of. And you also need to ask your mentor that you're thinking of hiring, what are your expectations of your clients? And let me tell you my expectations of you as my mentor. I say that on all my sales calls. If anyone wants to work with me privately, I tell them, okay, what are your expectations of me? And they'll tell me, I expect you to hold me accountable. I expect you to give me feedback, to help me with launches, all these things. And I'll say, great. Now let me tell you my expectations of you. I expect you to do what I say. I expect you to, you know, all of my expectations of them. And that way the relationship is very clear and everyone is always getting what they want.
Yeah, I love that. And that's so important. I know, and I think everybody goes through this when they first like are in the beginning stage of their business and they're just like so desperate for a client where they agree to work with somebody and then halfway through through working with them, it's like that was not the right fit.
And that's okay. Like,
Oh
that's
yeah.
okay to happen in the beginning for sure. Like, sometimes you need to do that. That's a rite of passage.
Yeah, no, I mean, I absolutely agree with you. And like realizing that that I could, or just that at the general you can say things like that of like, these are my expectations of you as a client and you need to be ready to do the work kind of a thing is so powerful. And it just really shows your client or your potential client that like you mean business and like you want to help them get results and they need to do the work to get there.
Oh, totally. People always take, well, I want everyone to take my coaching seriously, which sounds like as well, why wouldn't they? But there are people who hire coaches and they will not. They have like just the wrong, they don't know what they're getting into, right? They either think they're hiring like a really great VA, like, oh, I'm gonna build your business for you, or you just got people from all different places, and it's just really important to be clear.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, in terms of like CEO embodiment, right? Like, if there's somebody that's like, okay, I hear this, I want to show up as a CEO, I don't even know what the first step I should take is. Can you kind of walk us through like what that process kind of looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So the CEO embodiment method consists of foundation, innovation, and generation. Foundation is the first phase where the objective is to take a complete state of union on all facets of your business and your life. So I need to know, you can kind of put it on a paper yourself. What if your business looked like departments and your life looked like certain departments? what's currently happening in each department. So what's happening with your sales right now? What's happening in your lead gen? What's happening in your customer support? What's happening in your personal brand? What's happening in your lifestyle or in your personal relationship? It's really being honest and being able to kind of audit everything that's going on and be able to organize it in a manner that then you can go into the second phase, which is innovation, which is entirely about what projects, what action items, what needs to happen to further improve this process. So an example of this could be, let's say right now your business does not currently have a customer support department. You're kind of like, a client is asking you, hey, how do I get the back end of this call? How do I get the recording? How do I get my password? Hey, can we move my call around? I don't do any of that stuff. I don't think anyone should. If all of that should be happening in the customer support team, Voxer or Slack is only for coaching related questions only. So directing that, or like, again, when we onboard a client, we let them know any call related questions, any support related questions. If you'd like to have Isabella be a guest coach in your program, please email support. It's an entire team dedicated to satisfying the clients. And I do have a program director who's always in charge of all of Guava program. So she's in charge of everyone who's in the courses, everyone who's in my private coaching, anyone who's in group programs. She is responsible for that. So that could be like a new innovation that you implement in your own business, is maybe, and maybe you're still the customer support person, right? But at least it's not happening in the Voxer. It's happening in a formality in an email. So I think having those separations is really important. And the third piece is generation. So this is really where a lot of the flow and the creativity and the expansion comes from, because now that you have your customer support department all fixed up, it opens up another window of what else can we innovate? What else can we choose as the biggest leverage point to get us the most results? So this is really the phase where I teach a lot of personal branding. I teach a lot of how to gain more clients without necessarily like selling more. So client retention is really important, because if your private clients are always re-signing with you, you never have to launch. So It's all about generating more and more results for you, which is that scaling piece, which causes that exponential growth in income and community and all those good things.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for walking through that with us. Okay, so I feel like we've talked about a lot of good things on this episode. I was like listening to everything that you were saying just now, and I'm like, we've talked about so much, and like, honestly, not that long of a period of time. But before wrapping up the episode, I do want to ask you one last question that I love asking at the end of each episode. So since this podcast is about inspiring people to go after their dreams, if someone is listening right now and they're thinking about starting their own business, but maybe they're scared to get started or just like haven't, you know, dipped their toes in yet, what would you want to say to them?
I think what I want to say to the dreamer, well, I know what I want to say to you. And I just want to tell you that you're so worthy of all the things that you want and that you desire, that the only person stopping you is yourself, which is a difficult place. It's a weird place of acceptance to realize, oh, wow, I put myself here. Like there's a difference between like being happy where you are, but also accepting that you are where you are because you put yourself there. And it's not like there is a bad place. Maybe it is right now. Maybe you're having a really horrible week, which I totally understand. I have them all the time. But if you accept that this is where you are and the choices that you make and that your reality is in your control, like you can create your reality, I think it's about taking the aligned action steps every single day. So when I was first building my business, I knew I wanted a really big business. I was like, oh my God, it's going to take forever to get there. Now I would have considered, okay, well, kind of just wrapping up the thought. Take one step, one aligned action step every single day, and you will find progress. And you will, the next like breadcrumb will be revealed to you. I think entrepreneurship is a lot like driving in the dark up a mountain, and you're just having and holding this faith that you're going to get to the top. I can tell you that there is no top, and I could also tell you that your headlights are only going to illuminate 3 to 4 feet in front of you, and you just have to keep trucking along and see what is going to be the next step that illuminates. Don't try to think of the next 100 steps, the next 1,000. You just need the first one or two.
Yes, I love that. That's a great ending to the podcast. Thank
Yay,
you
you're welcome. Thanks.
so much for being on this episode.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, y'all. I hope that you thoroughly enjoyed this episode. I know I had so much fun recording it. So if you enjoyed it, definitely share it to your Instagram stories. Tag us. Let us know that you love listening to it. I would love, love, love if you would leave a review for the podcast. That would mean the world to me. But yeah, I just really hope that you enjoyed it. And if you are ready to scale your business to consistent 5-figure months and fully embody your 6-figure self, you are not going to want to miss out on learning more about the Abundant Business Mastermind. This program is amazing. The price is unreal for the first round, and the guest speakers are going to blow your mind. So, with that all in your mind now, go learn more, go check it out. I hope to be on a call with you real soon. And again, I really hope that you loved this week's episode of the If She Did It podcast.